Hey, all you Holly weirdos, we are back behind the mics after an unexpected pause. Yes, hell or high water, flu or even floods, we decided to come back, but with some pretty amazing yet frightening ghost stories. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most haunted movie theaters in Los Angeles, the Braindead Studios, which was the former silent movie theater. What echoes hide behind the silent screen? What stories of true crime and even history, along with ghost stories, resonate out of this one particular spot nestled in the Fairfax District? Let's sit down as we hear from the current staff of the Braindead Studios of their current ghost stories that unusually and remarkably parallel with those of the silent movie theater and the once Cine Family. So you already know the drill. You want to pop that popcorn, grab a lot of salt, not just for your popcorn, but for yourself, because you're going to be sprinkling that little salt around your seat. And you're going to prepare yourself for one hell of a matinee screening of one of the most haunted movie theaters in Los Angeles. Let's get Holly weird in the Fairfax District at the Braindead Studios. Hurry up, the movie's about to start, and the ghosts are dying to sit next to you.
And I hear them call me by my name. So I run into the kitchen to check, and there's nobody there.
And I start to hear my closet door start to open.
Oh, hell no.
All of a sudden, for no reason, I woke up in the middle of the night. My eyes just snapped open. And it's that strange feeling that you have when something wakes you up. You don't know what has woken you up until you either see what it was or you hear whatever it was.
If you like all things spooky, then check out A Spooky Tales. We, Christina
and MJ, talk about all things spooky, like haunted places, myths, and legends.
With a focus on Latin America.
New episodes every Friday.
Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and in your favorite podcast apps, as well as spookytales.com.
Stay spooky.
Hey guys, welcome to another fun and frightening little episode of Hollywood Paranormal. I know it has felt like a bit of a decade this past month and a half, but we are back. No storm, no illnesses can keep us away.
They can delay us. We'll definitely say they can delay us.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Let's play catch up really quick.
Yes.
To give everybody a sample of what we've been going through. Well, for starters, I have now become a fur mama twice.
Yes, he's so cute.
Otto Von Chavez, we adopted a new boxer puppy, and he is a handful. So we've been training him, trying to fix him, and he was an emergency adoption out of the Redlands, and we just fell in love with him. So
he's so sweet.
Occurred. I know if you follow me on my Instagram, Supernaturally Tammy, you'll see all of his little adventures, but he is a crazy little puppy. There he goes right there.
I know, I see him running around in the back.
And before recording, he put his paws on the keyboard. I'm like, what did you do? Almost messed up something.
He's our new producer. He produces
our new
the show.
Producer, sound engineer, mascot.
If you have any comments or concerns, please direct them to Otto. He will be fielding all of our reviews from now on.
OttoVonTravis@gmail.com. And, and then I was slammed with the flu. And then the universe said, no, that's not enough. So I got hit again by a nasty bug.
Dude,
like 2 weeks ago.
It's been ravaging LA. It's so crazy.
It's so bad. And I'm is it because of the weather change? No, because I work at a university and my students have been coming into to class sick. They used up all their sick days to sleep in. And when they got sick, they came in sick. Yeah. So I got sick
Anyone in education knows that students are the dirtiest. It doesn't matter what age they are. They're
Oh
just
my
like
God.
little petri dishes. It's so gross.
It's so true.
And like that, me included. Like when I was a student, I was like, I can't miss class. Like, go home. Why are you here?
It's so true. So if you're sick, I know it. If you're sick, just try to stay home because it is not nice, man. This the second time I got sick, like my husband was so worried. He's like, "Do I need to take you to urgent care?" I'm like, "No, I just need to go to the doctors and hopefully they could give me a Z-pack," which they did, and it was
Oh,
fine. But
God love a Z
boy,
bag.
oh, I know, thank God. Thank you, Nurse Meredith. That's all I have to say because she saved me. But how have you been doing? You've been embracing and gracing the LA stages. You
Yes, so
met.
we just finished a show a couple weeks ago. We just started rehearsal for the new one that's coming out in June. So that's always like exciting and fun. And I wrote this one, so she's a multi-threat. But no, it's been great. It's so I ev every single step thus far, and I assume all the way until we finish in June, will be insanely surreal and has been so surreal. Like hearing people say the words that I wrote about my life, like it's about my time in university. And so there's like memories and stories that I remember, and then to hear actors now like say them and like work on them is super crazy. So it's been, we got really lucky and the cast is really good and I'm excited. But yeah, it's that chaos of just like, what do you mean it's April? Like, oh my
Yeah, it's
God.
already April and it is chilly Bob Thornton outside. It is so cold right now. I see you with your little fuzzy
I
rainbow
know.
hoodie. It is cold outside.
It's something also like the last like 5 or 6 weeks, it's been beautiful. Like what you
Yeah.
imagine LA weather to be like, not a cloud in the sky, low 70s, warm breeze, cool in the shadows, beautiful. It looks like a filter on Instagram. And then we get to the weekend, like the whole week, it'll be beautiful. And then the second it's time for the
Yep.
weekend, you're like, great, I can like celebrate and go outside.
I go to the
Thunderstorm.
beach. Yeah,
Huge
it is.
rain, huge thunderstorm, mudslides. Like, okay.
It is giving us Twilight. It is giving us
Yeah.
orcs right now. That
That's
was a
right.
really great
Thank you.
cover.
I didn't want to say, but yes, it was me on the soundtrack.
I was gonna say the Grammy for best cover of
Yes.
a film goes to Bryce
Me.
Mitchell Williams. Well, guys, we have a really awesome treat in store for you.
Yay.
So, back in February, before literally a week before I got like the flu, the plague,
The
I
plan.
was invited to go and watch a screening of Blumhouse's and Lionsgate
Yes.
horror film of the demonic teddy bear. Imaginary. I know it was like it took
Oh,
Teddy Ruxpin
I know.
20 times up right there.
Even the
And
trailer like
yeah,
freaked me out. I was
it
like, no,
did.
no.
The movie was surprisingly good. It was funny in some moments and pretty scary in other times, but it was a really cool film. And where it was being screened was at the Brain Dead Studios, which was the former
Yes.
silent movie theater. So, I don't know, Bryce, if you know much about the
First
silent
Street.
movie theater. Yes, it is in the midst. Oh, well, since it's sequestered in the Fairfax District off of Fairfax Avenue. And this is the place that the Baggins actually touch because this place is known to be very, very haunted. And I had to ask the workers of Brain Dead Studios if they had any ghost stories, and they were immediate to hear
Yes.
them. Like they were like, oh my God, where do I begin? Like I just started working here 4 months ago and I saw A, B, and C and I can't explain it. And I asked them like, did you know anything of the history? They're like, no, I just needed a job and I wanted to work here.
Whoa.
And these things started happening
That
during
makes me like
closing.
trust them more in a way.
Exactly.
Like a little.
Like a little.
You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
because if you go in looking for the number 42, you'll always find the number 42, or like when you buy a car and
Exactly.
you start seeing your car everywhere. But if you go in and you have no idea, like, oh.
Oh, yeah. And they had no idea. They're like, yeah, I saw this man in this theater out of the blue while I was trying to close and I was by myself in the theater and I almost called the cops kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is insane. So this place is known to have full body apparitions, people being touched, being pushed, and possibly a tushy touching ghost. So if you're a guy and you're a little buff, Bryce.
Oh.
If you've been doing your little buttocks exercises, your buttocks will be pinched.
Look, so. I love a tushy touch as much as the next person, but consent first.
So, ladies and gentlemen, and all you ghouls, all you ghouls and cryptids, we are going to talk about the history and the haunting of the former silent movie theater. So it is the epitome of how and why we started this podcast. It has true crime, it's got history, and it's definitely got ghosts. Yes. And we're going to touch on everything. So yeah, it definitely is a trifecta. So a lot of my research came from a Los Angeles Times article back in May of 1997.
Damn.
And let's go. So we're going to start out with a bit of the history of Fairfax. Nice. So Fairfax was a huge Jewish community in the 30s and 40s. It was a big marketplace. It was filled with markets and cafes. Further down, you have Cantor's, which has been a... Okay, what have you tried and what do you love?
What haven't I tried?
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. I think Cher's been there several times, too.
No, I love... Look, it's ironically, I will say, it's not my favorite Jewish deli. There is one up in Studio City that is just like insanely good.
Wait, which one is that one?
I think this is embarrassing, but I'm gonna have to look up my Grubhub because that's the only way that I know it from. I'll find it. It's fine. it's so good, but it's also like close. So maybe that's why.
I love a good Jewish deli.
Cantor's is like delicious. And the venue is so cool and so historical.
Yeah.
Potato pancakes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. What is it? The latkes? That's what they call it. Yeah. They're so good. Their pastrami sandwiches are great. And even if you just want to go in there for a coffee and a pastry, it's still really good.
Oh, okay. It's this place in Studio City called Arts. And it's like, it's insane. It's so good. Yeah.
That's, Arts is a Jewish deli? I used to pass by there all the time. Yeah,
it's like, again, don't get me wrong. Cantor's is insanely good, but Cantor's is like so famous now.
Yeah, it's like, its own celebrity.
If you want to wait for 4 hours, then like that's great. But I do not do that because I am lazy.
Same. I haven't gone there in months because it is a little bit out of the way. But I know that it's been in a lot of shows. It's been in a lot of films. So there's that down the street. And Cantor's also is known to be haunted. Hint, hint, if you haven't seen our friend Spooky Foodie's videos covering Cantor's and her little investigation there a while back, they have a lot of ghost stories. So we'll definitely cover that with her soon on this podcast. And further down is the CBS Studios, where they do shoot The Price is Right. So
yes, they do.
Have you waited in line to be the audience member? Have you made your reservations to that?
I have a friend though, and he won his showcase.
No way.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
It was like a whole thing. Yeah. So I love The Price is Right, but no, I haven't done it myself. No.
I always wanted to do it. I always wanted to be a member. I think my husband went and was an audience member. He loved
it. The thing is like, I don't know that I would want to go and just do the audience. Like if I was guaranteed to be one of the people, then I'm like, that's great. But if I just have to be on the audience, no, I'm a baby.
So there's a lot going on in this neighborhood. And then you have this couple, the Hamptons, who then comes in the 40s, the early 40s, and they build this cute little silent movie theater.
Yes.
So in walks in John Hampton. He is, you know, this is a small town boy living in Oklahoma City. He's a major film buff. He loves Westerns, but most of all, he loves film. So he starts collecting a bunch of film. And then he meets this little PYT, this pretty young thing named Dorothy. They marry, and then in 1940, they get sick of Oklahoma because, of course, if I was living in Oklahoma,
No shade, but yes, T.
For all you guys listening from Oklahoma, we are sorry.
Yes, but we love you, but No.
I need the ocean. I need sand. I need the mountains. And I need an air one. So in 1940, they moved to LA. And in 1942, they buy this little plot of land and they start building this movie theater. And with John's collection of films, he's like, I'm going to be the projectionist, babe, Dorothy. You're going to sell the tickets. You're going to sell the candy bars. And we're going to live above this movie theater. So they built this movie theater with an apartment on the second floor. So smart and huge because, I mean, even back in the 40s, you had to work, like live very closely to where you work.
Sure, of course.
And so all they had to do was like climb down a flight of stairs and they, you know, got business running. So in 1942, they opened the doors to their first movie theater. Their only movie theater called the Old Time Movies. And it was a 250 seat theater. A child's ticket cost you 5 cents and an adult ticket.
Oh, L.
I know. That is a ghost. That is the ghost. Those prices are ghosts. An adult ticket would cost you 10 cents. So yeah, that was back in the 40s, guys. Like that is how much you needed to spend in order to see a silent movie, right?
Before someone starts screaming about inflation and cost of living, we know. We get it. Thank you. Trade crypto coin somewhere else. Thank you.
So 6 nights a week, they would show films and they would run programs at 7 p.m. and one at 9 p.m. After World War II, they have a bit of a boom. You know, they get pretty busy because people want to go and do things after the war. They want to go and spend money. They want to go celebrate and they want to see their old, you know, famous films starring Charlie Chaplin, D.W. Griffith, and even Mary Pickford, maybe a Carolyn Lombard in there, you know, those types of films. So Mr. Hampton is pretty busy with Dorothy, but things start to slow down in the 50s with the introduction of the television. So business is a little slow. And by 1980, it starts to really dwindle down for them. So they get a lot older, they get a little sick. And I believe John develops cancer and he ends up passing away in 1990. Now, it was rumored that he may have developed cancer because of using chemicals to process film in his bathroom. So it was said that he used to process film, celluloid, using nitrate and all these chemicals in his bathroom. I doubt the ventilation was that great. So it was a rumor that that could have been a possibility. I know it was really sad. And then Dorothy develops early onset Alzheimer's. So what is happening with this movie theater? Well, all of a sudden it ends up in the hands of a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Austin, who is a very close friend to John and Dorothy. Both John and Austin have a big bond and they bonded over silent movies. So Austin is a huge movie buff too. And he ends up all of a sudden being entrusted with Dorothy's finances. He is then given this movie theater through Dorothy and all of its contents. So it is a little shady how this kind of gets organized because Dorothy's family and John's family are like, hey, all of a sudden you're going to give all this money and your movie theater to this friend. And she's like, yeah, that's pretty much it. So there's some legality issues there, especially the fact that she is now dealing with Alzheimer's. She's living in a senior citizen facility. So there's a lot of legalities. I think there is even like court proceedings due to this. So it just seemed a little sus.
Yeah.
So there's this other part that's like, but was it? Because when Austin comes in, he actually gives the movie theater a huge facelift. He gives it a fresh coat of paint. He puts in new curtains, new furniture. He really goes and revitalizes it. He adds new, you know, big movie posters. And then he adds a big movie sign called the Silent Movie Theater. And he opens the doors. He allows Dorothy to work the night, the opening night. It's really sweet. So yeah, I'm like, but he asks Dorothy and Dorothy comes in to greet the guests, take their tickets. He even allows her to sell a few concessions. So You know, it just like, just so she could relive those moments that she had with John. He even hires an organist to come in and play before a big screening of their first movie. So all seems good, right? Well, he's not acting alone in this entire venture. Now we're going to meet another gentleman who is his little sugar baby. We're going to call him James Van Sickle. So James Van Sickle is a very interesting gentleman, and he has a thing for sugar daddies, of course.
Don't we all?
Yes. Makes you wonder, did he go to the bar Trunks in West Hollywood to do this?
Get out. Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't, not without my lawyer present, I don't. No, ma'am. I don't.
I was always told that.
I've never been there. I've never, my shadow has never darkened that doorstep.
Are you sure? Was there never, no, there had to be a time we were like, well, all I need to do is just have a drink.
Get my lawyer on the phone. Look, if anyone listening wants to be my sugar daddy, applications open, because I am not above that. So yes, carry on with Trunks. That's hilarious.
So for some of you that may or may not know, like, West Hollywood is like, it is boys town. It is the huge LGBTQ plus community there. I lived there for 2.5 years when I first moved to LA. I had, you know, my neighbors were drag queens. They performed at the Abbey and another former club called Cherry Pop. And they would always
Yes.
You remember?
That's hilarious. Go on. It is weird though, because I don't go over there that often. But
me neither.
It's nothing survived, basically. Like none. No. Of, obviously the Abbey, of course the Abbey, but like
Saddles didn't survive, didn't?
Girl,
did,
I or know. Did it? No.
Yeah, and that was a fun little place. That was
so many places that like they're kind of now back to being clubs again.
Yeah.
So many things got bought by like real estate.
And I know. That's what happens.
It's not great.
It's not. I mean the Abbey is still there, right?
Yeah. That will always be there.
Yeah. But Pump is not. Pump. No. Yeah. No. So Trunks is this place where the old gays go. And I was always told, like, yeah, if you want an old gay guy, especially a sugar daddy, you go and have a few drinks with them.
Oh my God.
So we don't know if James Van Sickle did this, because he's already the special handyman to Austin. So he helps Austin a lot, and he ends up living with Austin at the movie theater in the apartment that was owned by, of course, John and Dorothy. So it's them two.
Handy in handyman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially when he's a former bodybuilder. So you know he's been, you know, lifting some iron and other things there.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So there's some similarities between these two gentlemen, and we'll go into it right now, because they actually have a criminal past.
Ooh.
So James Van Sickle has a fine taste for money and old men, considering that in 1983 he became a handyman / in-house lover.
Good for James.
For an older, wealthy real estate dude. So this guy lived in Bel Air, had a ton of money, had an eye for younger man. In walks James Van Sickle as a handyman, and he stays there. And the guy spoils him, like really spoils him, gives him money, gives him a car.
I have not heard a single crime. Saltburn really inspired me.
Oh my God, that movie was insane.
So good though.
So good. I mean, the ending, guys, if you haven't seen it, we're not
so
going
to. I love that song. So good. I'm obsessed with it. Jacob Elordi.
I know.
I love him.
Oh yes, I have dressed him. I have dressed him and I've touched him.
Oh my God, I forgot.
The mortuary collection. Yeah.
He's so tall and beautiful.
He was hard to dress because he's so tall and very like lean too. And every suit that we put him in, it was like, oh God, the cuff is really off. Like everything had to be specially tailored for him, but it was worth it. He was such a sweetheart. Okay. So back to, you know, sugar daddy and sugar baby Van Sickle. So he becomes very comfortable with his living situation. But then all of a sudden things start to slow down. And, you know, the little tycoon daddy decides, hey, this was fun, but we're going to have to break up and you're going to have to move out. And I'm going to have to take the keys to the Mercedes away from you. So Van Sickle did not. Yeah. Oh, he did not like that. He was like, no, can I stay? Are you sure? Like, how many times do you need me to bend over? Like, seriously. So he ends up assaulting the guy. He ends up grabbing a hammer and beating him. And he ends up taking a lot of his money. He steals the car. Eventually, he is captured by police and thrown in jail. And then he is thrown in jail again in 1989 after being convicted for selling narcotics. And then he meets Austin. Austin, too, does not have a clean rap sheet. In 1972, he ends up working as an accountant for a, I think it's a beauty shop or a barber shop. He embezzles close to $4,000 or $5,000, right? And then he is fired. And then he goes to another company, embezzles close to $42,000 of that company, and is thrown into prison for 2 years. So he has a taste for money like Van Sickle, but Van Sickle has pretty much other plans. So the two men end up having this relationship, and Van Sickle is spoiled by Austin. So Austin ends up buying him a Corvette, not a Mercedes, but it's something. Right. He gives him a little, you know, little money every week. He lavishes him with gifts and he's spoiling him. Van Sickle is like, all right, this will do. You know, we have a movie theater. I have a Corvette. Life is great. But then other people who work in the movie theater had noticed like they're complete opposites in a way, because they're like oil and water. One moment they're, you know, they're fine and dandy. Things are going normal. Business is running well as usual. And then other times they get into these, you know, heated arguments. This one specific night in January 14th of 1997, things go really downhill. So on this particular night, pretty much everything's going well. They're opening up for a movie and they're showing this movie by Larry Simone. It's like a little short. Austin opens the movie theater. He greets patrons. He starts selling the tickets. Running concessions is a 19-year-old Mary Giles. I think it's Giles or Giles. We're going to call her Giles. So they start the movie. There's about 60 to 70 people in this theater. Austin goes into the lobby to speak with Giles. And in the middle of the movie, this gentleman gets up. He's dressed up all in black and he goes into the lobby. Nobody thinks anything of it. As he is approaching the lobby, he meets up with Austin and Giles, except that he pulls out a gun and he demands Mary behind the register to hand over all the cash. She hands him the cash. After he pockets the cash, she turns the gun to Austin and shoots him in the face, killing him instantly, and then turns the gun to Mary and shoots her and both fall to the ground. Oh, yeah. So this guy is no bueno, obviously. Yeah. He runs through the back of the theater, disappears. The worst part is no one in the movie theater, you know, puts two and two together. Right. They think it's the movie. They are like, oh, we heard pops. We thought that was part of the movie. But actually, when they exit, they see Austin and Mary. And fortunately, fortunately, Mary does survive her injuries. But Austin, I mean, died immediately on the scene. So after this horrific incident, Van Sickle pays for the funeral of Austin. And all of a sudden is running business. He is all of a sudden about to own this theater because for some reason there's this weird note that pops up, like a will that's handwritten by Austin with severe finger quotes. And it's putting Van Sickle as sole proprietor of this movie theater.
Damn.
Not to mention, in Austin's bank account, there's close to $1 million that is most likely going to go to Van Sickle. So that's kind of weird in itself. So after Mary Giles survives her injuries, she's able to give LAPD a description of the gunman. So they send out a description of the gunman. They spread it all over the city. And it turned out that someone connected to the gunman, who is 19-year-old Christian Rodriguez. So one of his friends actually rats him out because there was a reward for $27,000 if someone could turn him in. And
let me tell you something. $27,000 in 1980s money Yeah, y'all are getting turned in. I'm sorry.
1980s and 1990s. Yeah, like you could buy a house, a car, maybe even more property. Like that was a lot of money.
Yeah, no. Y'all are getting turned in. I'm sorry. I love y'all. You got to go to jail.
I know. Like what can $27,000 get you today?
Now it's barely even a month of rent. But it's
barely even a month. Yes.
At the time, actually, I want to look it up. I'm going to look at what the conversion rate is. It's probably not that crazy, but I would sell. Look, if I'm hungry enough, they could get me to turn someone in for a sandwich. So, like, well, I don't know, 27,000.
Uh huh. What is that up to? What is
19,
that?
And what year was it? 19.
This was 1997.
97.
Oh my God. High school me would have been like, oh my gosh, can you imagine the things that I could do with that money? I could buy it. I could probably buy a country with that. That
is okay. Look, it's not like my head. An insane amount, but it is worth $52,000.
Damn. I mean,
let me tell you can do some damage with $52,000.
Right. Right.
Y'all are in going to jail.
Right. So after Christian is caught, he then confesses to the police that this was actually a hire and hit job. So he was hired by Van Sickle to shoot and kill Austin and then shoot and kill Mary Giles to make it look like it was a robbery gone wrong. And things, of course, fate, as it would have it, would not go according to plan because Mary survives her injuries. And thank God she does, because she's able to give police this description of Rodriguez. And without that, he would have never been captured. And he admits to the cops that, yeah, Van Sickle planned this. He was going to get all this money from Austin. He was going to promise me $27,000. And now that's not going to happen. So Van Sickle was caught, brought to court. So both men were actually tried in 1999. They both pled not guilty.
Girls.
And then Mary is the key witness. She had her day. So she goes and she, you know, is the pretty much the star witness in this court. And she tells everyone what happened. She remembers everything, thankfully, everything from, you know, Christian pulling the gun and shooting Austin and then shooting her. So the two men, Van Sickle and Rodriguez, both barely in the skin of their teeth avoid the death penalty. But they are told to serve a life sentence without parole at a California state prison. So, yes, still serving time.
Are they both still alive?
Oh, they're both. I think they're still alive. So now he's a sugar daddy or sugar baby in the prison. So now he's after that commissary money.
Oh my God. Right? Look, I am deeply against the death penalty. I am anti-death penalty in all situations, but that is crazy.
It is insane. I mean, this guy had a taste for money and he was willing to get that money at whatever cost, and it definitely cost him his independence and almost his life. So there you go.
Wow.
But it cost the life. It almost cost the life of two other people. Uh-huh. So yeah. So what happens to the movie theater? Well, it lays dormant and dark for a while. There's a big for sale sign in front of the silent movie theater. And there are even rumors that they're going to tear it down and possibly turn it into a parking lot. Ugh. But this gentleman by the name of Charlie Lustman comes in. He purchases it, gives it a facelift, and continues running it as the silent movie theater. So he turns it into the silent movie theater again. He is continuing to show the same movies that were shown in the past. And then there are stories from his staff that started to surface. Stories of unexplainable hauntings, things that people couldn't explain that were happening to them. There was even a rumor that while a film was being shown, that the film stopped. And then all of a sudden, it kind of caught fire. And you could kind of see the celluloid burning. And people claimed to have seen what looked like a man's face on the screen.
Ooh.
And there was even rumor that that face looked like Austin's. So it was crazy and it was weird, but this is an alleged story. Then after that, it seems like the movie theater goes into another pair of hands, and then it's turned into CineFamily. It is barely staying afloat, and then it is laid dormant again. And then all of a sudden, you have this guy named Kyle Ng, who has this little company of making t-shirts called Brain Dead. And he moves into the space. He calls it the Brain Dead Studios. He wants to sell his items, his shirts, his posters, his art, and also show old school indie films. And ever since Brain Dead Studio moved in 2019 or 2020, things start to pick up in terms of activity. So we're going to hear the stories because, you know me, I had asked a lot of these individuals who shared their stories with me first if they could be recorded. They gave me permission. They were, you know, without hesitation, willing to share. And there's this one gentleman who actually has been working in the specific space for a very long time. So he has a crazy story of the tushy ghost, the ghost that likes to touch the tushy. Yeah, so he's been grabbed. You'll hear those stories. But yes, in 2017, I believe, the Baggins and the Ghost Adventures crew traveled to the Silent Movie Theater. They spoke with the staff. And a lot of their stories did parallel with the stories of the current staff of the Brain Dead Studios. Now, what is often seen here, there are stories of seeing a full body apparition of a man, primarily in the theater projection room and on the second level. People have seen a shadow figure of a person in the theater. People have been grabbed and pushed in certain areas, primarily the projection room and the staircase. So there have been claims that people have felt like somebody was brushing aside them or they had been pushed and hearing a man's voice. So there's two possible culprits behind this. Could it be the ghost of Lawrence Austin, or could it be John Hampton, who did own this theater first? He built this building, built this business, and loved his business and also loved silent film, that he actually stays there. Or could it be both of them? Who knows? So real quickly, guys, we're going to listen to a couple of these stories. So here they are, and enjoy. And then we're going to touch base, Bryce, on what happened. So here they are.
Yeah, I was projecting. It was back in 2017, and I was inspecting a film print late at night by myself on the rewind table, and I like felt someone like touch my shoulder and then grab like my buttock, and there was like no one there.
But was it like I have to go in. I have to ask this.
It was like manly, really sexual, harassy like grab.
Now, did it feel like it was like was it a man? Like you felt like that grasp was more masculine than feminine?
It felt like it was a larger hand. I can't tell you, like, it didn't feel like they had like nails or something.
Right. Did you ever feel like do you ever feel like your life is in danger, or you're like the sense of fear, like you need to get the hell out?
Well, I mean,
maybe don't put it in the thing.
Sorry. I mean, not really. Like, I think after I felt that, yeah, for sure. Like, I was just kind of like, I'll just finish this tomorrow and let it go.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. I mean, I've been pissed off about, because sometimes I think they're sabotaging. Like, when I first started working here, like, as a fresh projectionist, like, it definitely felt like I was hazed. Like, things were just going wrong all the time with the projectors.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. And you've been here since 2016.
Yeah, I mean, I've, like, done a lot of work on them, and I haven't had issues since then. But when I was first working, it was just, like, there's a band that takes up the film on the bottom reel, and it broke. And I'm like, crap. So there's just, like, film just pooling on the floor like spaghetti. And then I have to, like, manually wind it, and then the other one broke. Like, immediately, like, while I'm, like, on the ground, like, looking, and I see the other one snap. They were, like, both snapped.
And that usually never happens, like, in your experience.
Unless they're, like, crazy old. But when I got the technician in here, and I was like, hey, can I just, like, buy some more band from you? He's like, how the hell does this happen? Like, they don't normally break.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It just felt really odd that they just both happened to break at the same time. And they're really sturdy bands. Like, they don't really do that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But I've been, like, working here since then, and haven't really had anything else that I, like, feel like
it was your first year that was like...
It was my first year. It was like, maybe it was like...
The initiation.
You think you're a real projectionist?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like how I felt. And now it's like, maybe I've
you're okay.
been here long enough. I've earned my keep. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird. But I haven't felt scared since then.
Let me tell you something.
Right?
If a ghost fucking tries to haze me...
Oh, my God. I know.
I'm gonna exercise you. Like,
isn't that crazy? Like the hazing, the touching that felt very
gropey.
It was like that was sexual harassy right there. I
mean, look, if the ghost is from the 80s, then they probably just think that's how you say hello. So
yeah, exactly.
No, that's crazy to like. And interesting that it like then dissipated. It does feel like, oh, you're like, okay, you're here. You're like in this space as a worker, a compatriot, like we'll leave you alone now. That's creepy.
I know. And what's even more insane is like the accounts too, like the film snapping. He's like, I've been doing film for a very long time. I've been a projectionist. That never happens. And for it to happen here was
for both of them is so crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And he has been there since the beginning when it was like the silent movie theater and he transitioned into CineFamily and now into Braindead. So he loves his job. He loves what he does. He loves the place and he doesn't feel like he's threatened, but it's like, it was certainly an initiation and it seems like an initiation for other people that work there. So we'll hear from these next two women that had some very unusual experiences. And one of them actually had one the night before the screening that she was like, oh my God, I have to tell you this. So
just never have the doors closed when we're sweeping. Like, but last night the doors were both closed, so I was just alone in here and I was sweeping. And then, I got chills on my scalp right now talking about it.
Oh my God.
I was literally like right here, and then I've never had this happen, but I like looked up and like there was like this, like, it looks like this like dark, like almost shadow of a man like walking down the aisle. And then I, like, when I looked up, it was gone. And I'd never seen anything like that. And I've almost worked here for 2 years, and I've never had an experience like
I've
that.
Asked you about the man, because that's I knew someone that used to work here when it was the silent theater, and I was like, and he's seen the man. So that's why I wanted to see if accounts parallel.
Yeah.
But what was your experience?
Well, I'm actually going to tell hers, because it's kind of similar to... But there was one time where I, like, came down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that's not good. Give it to Sarah.
We're going to go to the party.
Okay, I was going to say, yes, if you could give it to Sarah, she could find it. Okay. Find the person that it belongs to. Safer.
Yeah, let's not. We found a passport.
And we're going to leave a passport.
I think that's when they found a pass, someone's passport.
Okay, yeah.
So he was trying to tell the story of this girl that you're going to see the next video of. So that's the pants one.
Got it. Okay.
But this one is crazy because she was telling me that this happened the night before the screening.
The night before is so creepy.
And she had no inkling of like the history of this place. She heard nothing about it being haunted. I mean, she was just doing her job. She was just doing her closing duties.
I cannot explain to you there. Like, look, obviously I personally do not want to experience a ghost ever. Like there's not ever a good time. But on the bottom of that pyramid is when I'm at work. Because I'm already annoyed that I have to be there.
Right.
Do not Karen me from the afterlife. I don't want to deal with it. Not while I'm at work. No.
I know. No. I'm not doing a paranormal overtime right now. Yeah. I'm not getting paid for this. No. Yeah. I would have been like, fuck this. I'm leaving. I'm not getting paid to deal with this.
I would treat it in the way that I do when people are like bad customers. I'm just like, I'm mad, I'm annoyed, and I'm gonna be a bigger bitch because I have no qualms. Like, no.
Unless you're signing my checks, ghost, you could do whatever you want, but you're not, right? Yeah. Right. We're not doing
and
that.
I will exercise the fuck out of you. Like, you like this theater? Okay.
Oh, what if I had a little box of matches?
Yeah, just holy watering everywhere. Not at my job, bitch. No, ma'am.
So this next video of this girl, she's had a lot of things happen to her here, but the story that she shares is a story that really spooked her out the most. And she, I think she also has some sensitivity in general.
Interesting.
But yeah, her experiences there are pretty interesting as well.
The levels of like who's picking up what is very interesting.
Yeah, she's picking up everything. So crazy. Yeah.
So upstairs we have our retail space.
Yeah.
There's like a big standing mirror that we kind of pass every time we go into the kitchenette area where we have like a lot of our stock. So there was one night where I was just like kind of passing it and like, I'm a moving object. So like I'm passing it in my peripheral, I just see like a person standing completely still in the dead center of the
mirror. Yeah.
So I'm just like, nope, I'm just gonna keep going.
So you saw somebody just like standing dead center in the mirror and you're like, that is not my reflection.
No.
What did it look like? Was it really tall? Was it dark? Did it look like a masculine?
It was definitely a masculine person. It wasn't really like, I didn't see features. It was just like a dark figure, like literally standing completely still, like in the dead center of it.
Yeah.
I guess it would be like pretty tall, but because I could see like the head to the feet.
Yeah.
Another experience I had was just like walking past the hallway, I like saw
this was the one I was gonna
someone
say.
Like just like it's always like the peripheral of my face, but like I just like saw someone like go like moving down the hallway during a time when there's no one else in the building but like us cleaning up. So,
and it's always like when it's someone or one or two people here, it happens. Huh?
Yeah, it's always like when we're like just ending the night and like I know where my other coworkers are. So it's like definitely.
But out of everyone, you've had the most experience.
I feel like I've like seen, like I've seen, I don't know, I've seen it. So I feel
well,
like
if you see it and you know it's there, then yeah, you definitely know that there's something here that,
yeah,
you know.
Like I'm not locking eyes with it, but I'm definitely like, that's not an object that's like supposed to be there.
Yeah.
For me, I'm just like, I'm just not gonna look. I'm gonna keep doing my job. And
but you don't feel like you're in danger, you don't feel like it's negative, like
I don't feel like I'm in danger. I mean, it's definitely scary.
Yeah.
Seeing a dark figure like completely in the mirror, like it's just like, why are you there for me?
Yeah. So, I think it wants you to know that it's there. It's like, hey, I'm here.
My retail employees too, like we have a coworker, Jacob, they're like always pretty much in the hallway area where we have our clothing stock, and he says that he just feels it in there, like all,
yeah,
no mirrors. It's... no, absolutely not. No. I've seen the nun too many times. Absolutely not.
The mirror. I know. So
no,
they're seeing, I mean, people have seen this apparition of the man. And I had a friend that worked, I think he transitioned from silent movie theater to Cine Family. And he's okay. Like, girl, like there was like, it was always something going on specifically at closing time. And I know when Ghost Adventures went there, like some of the evidence they captured was like a grouchy man, which could be Austin or could be John Hampton. Who knows? One of those two.
Sure.
But I think Austin is definitely there. People feel his presence there a lot more than John's. And I think that, you know, both men really did love the theater. Like they loved their movies, and one's a little more ornery than the other one. So is that a word, ornery? No, ornery. Yeah. He's very grouchy.
Mirrors are the devil. No.
I know. No. But yeah, a lot of people do feel uncomfortable in certain locations. The apparition of the man is seen and felt. And I know another person had done an investigation there. Intuitive Tawny, what's up? And she had told me that while doing the investigation, they did pick up on Austin, and he's very grouchy. And he is like, he doesn't want to talk about certain things. Like he'll give you a little boosh boosh of what you want and then he'll disappear. But yeah. Sure. And that's pretty much it, guys. That is the haunting and the history and the true crime of the former silent movie theater. And let us know in Instagram or email us if you had an experience while watching a movie there, if you remember seeing the Ghost Adventures crew going there for their investigation, or if you have actually seen Austin himself in that theater. Yeah. So yeah, it's insane.
I've had a bad date there. That's got to count.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that needs an exorcism.
No ghosts.
No ghosts. Yeah.
No tushy touches. No
tushy touching right there.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm.
So yes, another big thing I wanted to say is happy birthday to our friend, our practicing bruja, our santera, Tanya Mercado. Today's her birthday.
Happy birthday. I didn't know that.
21 for the fourth time. So
yes.
So big happy birthday to her.
Look, I'm not above the line about my age for sure, but can you imagine being 21?
Oh God. The more I get older, like the less I remember. I'm like, didn't I not sleep when I was in my early 20s? I didn't sleep. Yeah. I remember like I would go and party on a weeknight and then come home, sleep barely for an hour, and then had to be at school by 9.
When I was in university, I slept once a week. And I'm not exaggerating. I literally would stay up all night.
I believe that.
All week. And then I would go to bed on like Friday at like 4 a.m. And then I would sleep all day Saturday. And then I would wake up sometime like Saturday or like Sunday evening. And then like I'd do it all again. Like you're sleeping once a week?
Yeah, that's when you had all that energy and you didn't need sleep. You just needed alcohol, life. And
I didn't drink I didn't drink coffee. I didn't drink coffee until, girl, I know.
That's when you became a man and an adult, when you started to drink coffee.
If I don't get 8 hours and like 62 cups of coffee, it's over.
Me too. I now need coffee and an IV drip. Like it has to be in an IV drip now. I have to have it now. Crazy. Yeah, it's so bad. Before I was like, I don't need that. I just need water, maybe some Pedialyte, and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we'll be coming at you with some more episodes. We have some great guests. We had to like rearrange the time and the schedule because of our schedules and getting sick and everything and losing our voices. But don't worry, we have a bunch of amazing guests that are going to be on the podcast. And another shout out to our friends over at What's Up Weirdo Podcast, John E.L. Tenney and Jessica Napek. They are now headlining the Pennhurst Paracon in Philly. So I will be joining them. I'll be partaking in that. I'll be traveling to Philly and also Gettysburg.
I love Philly.
Oh, I haven't been. I've never been.
I lived there for a summer in college.
No way. How was it? You liked it?
Look, it's a little different because I was there for mission. So, like, take that away.
Oh, it's also haunted.
Yeah, girl.
Did you?
That city is crazy. But then when I was there, I also saw it's when I saw Elton John in concert. Because we were just, like, walking. We, like, turned the corner. And, like, all of a sudden, Elton John is playing the Live 8 concert. So I got to see, like, a free Elton John show. And because I was such, like, a closeted little spiritual boob, I was like, I don't really like Elton John.
Stands there and just like listens to the music, has a little tear going down his face.
No, I literally was just so like, I don't know, I don't really like Elton John. And I look back on that memory, I'm like, you got to see Elton John. We're like two rows back because it's just like open air, free concert. Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Look at you now. Look at you now. I'm still standing better than I ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless.
Yeah, bliss. All right, guys, that is the end of our episode. We'll be back at it next week, of course, with some more spooky tales. We might even be able to do a live podcast recording out of this theater. I am still in talks with the manager. Yeah, so you might get your tushy touched, Bryce.
I hope so. Someone's got to eventually.
Yeah, right? You're like, I need some action. Though.
Come on now.
That's another time you will invite a ghost.
Yes, I don't have a lot of standards, but that's fine. Yeah.
Bryce, we're going to put you in the projectionist room and you're going to be bait. Bend over. Just drop your keys, bend over, see if something happens.
You want to see every single thing break, then that's what we'll do.
Love it. Let's book it.
Can't be
great. Awesome. Great. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on today's podcast. Always remember that if you want to catch up with past episodes, you can do so by listening to our podcast on Spotify and, of course, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast fix. If you want to learn more about the podcast, you can also venture on over to our website, hollyweirdparanormal.com. And there you can also read our bios, shop our merch store, and become a Patreon member. If you want to become a Patreon member, you can do so and support the podcast for as little as $1 or more. Yeah. You can help this Hollywood paranormal train go a-moving, and it's a lot of perks. You can tune into our underground podcast society of Saturday Night Ghost Club. There's a collection of episodes of people sharing their ghost stories. It's hard to find ghost stories now. It's hard to find personal ones. I always get people to share them with me. They're like, I don't want to be recorded. I'm like, okay, but I'll like to listen to it, please. Yeah. And they'll do that. So, but there's still a collection of them there. We have some video. We have video of us at the Queen Mary, if you want to see that. But yes, so you get to see all of that and enjoy all of that in the Patreon page. Of course, if you want to follow us, you can at Hollyweird Paranormal on Instagram and on Twitter at HWP Podcast. And you can also follow us on our personal pages. I'm under Supernaturally Tammy on Instagram, and Bryce.
The smirking assassin.
Yes, he does too, assassinate with his smirks, of course. He loves to do that.
Yes, I do.
Are there any future shows coming up for the Firefly Theater?
Yeah, so the next one is in June. We're like usually on like a 3-month cycle usually. So the next one's in June. And then the last one for the season will be in like October. We take a little bit of a break at the end of the summer.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So there you go, guys. Always remember to take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And don't forget to stay Holly Weird. Bryce, do you have anything you want to say?
Bye.
Bye, guys. Take care.